Ready? Okay. Welcome, members and guests, to the December 11th program of City Club of Eugene, the annual Gift to the City program. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Corin, Secretary of the City Club, and our sponsors today are Pacific University, Sanipac, Caring for Our Community, Dot Dotson Photography, imaging experts for over 80 years. Special thanks to KPFF Consulting Engineers for supplying our office space, KLCC Radio for airing these programs 6:30 on Monday nights and for archiving the podcasts on their site. We'd also like to thank Community Television of Lane County for televising recent City Club programs Monday through Saturday at noon and Sunday at 9 p.m. A quick reminder that we host nearly 50 original nonpartisan issue programs every year, and today is the 13th program of our 2015-2016 programming year. If you believe with us that civic engagement is the lifeblood of democracy, please join us. We welcome donors, sponsors, members, volunteers, and students, anyone who has a stake in community life. Today's program, the annual Gift of the City, is coordinated by John Belcher. One of the joys of the holiday season comes from engaging in traditions, and City Club is no exception. This is the fifth year in a row that we have asked folks from the community to, if they had the power, give any gift that they wish to the City of Eugene. What imaginary packages will we get to open this year? And will they be naughty or nice? We are honored to have the Reverend Dan Bryan of the First Christian Church dole out the packages this year. Dan is certainly someone who needs no introduction, given all the wisdom and advocacy he has provided to our community. But you may not know is that he has filled many roles for City Club since 1996, from camera operator to program chair to president of our club. Dan, what gifts do you have for us this year?
Thank you, Joel. Well, my first gift is the attire appropriate for the season. A little visual joke for those in the radio audience, my apologies, but appropriately dressed now with my Santa hat. I'm pleased to MC this wonderful program that is always such a delight every year. So what will we get in our stocking this year? Will we get coal? It's been done before. Or will a new civic stadium rise like a phoenix from the embers of our memories? Will we be gifted with something we can sink our teeth into, like a juggler's apple, also been done before? Or something to take us on a road trip like a VW camper? Check. Actually, that was my gift from 17 years ago, if you can believe it. No other program like this one comes with so many delights, fantasies, and provocations. It is our gift to the city from the people who make this such a wonderful place to live. We have seven wonderful gifters with us today, each with something unique, wonderful, and perhaps surprising to give to us in the spirit of the season. Now, I'm going to suggest that we lost a couple of those, so we may have a little extra time that during our break, after the speakers, that we invite each table to put on your creative gifting hats to come up with your own suggestion of what gift you would like to give to the city. So, what order should we use for our gift givers today? Alphabetical is too ordinary and simply not Eugene, right? Age might be fun, but also potentially very dangerous. Beauty, well, fortunately, this is also a radio program, so skip that. So how about syllables? Call it the syllabic selection process. Those with the fewest syllables in their name goes first. Those with the most get the last word. Somehow that seems appropriate. Right? And if you don't like your spot, like so many other things in life, you can simply blame your parents or perhaps the person you married, whichever the case may be, unless you chose your own name, in which case, well, it's all on you. Regardless, we are glad that our gifters are here today to share their gift with us. So first up, with the shortest name, coming in at 3 syllables and just 9 letters, Adam Wendt. Adam is a Wyoming native who graduated from the University of Oregon with a degree in music composition in 1994. He founded the Iris Educational Media in 1999 and has worked on over 70 educational technology and media projects funded through the National Institutes of Health, the United States Department of Education, and through collaborative agreements with colleges, universities, and research institutes around the country. Adam also volunteers his time in support of social and racial justice and is currently the secretary of the Eugene Springfield NAACP. So, Adam, educate us with your gift.
Big thank you, Pastor Bryant, for hosting today. Thank you for the Eugene City Club for inviting me to speak today, and thank you for KLCC for allowing people to connect through the rebroadcast, as well as community television. Although I'm not a native Eugenian, I moved here from Wyoming in 1988, and I immediately felt welcome. Since migrating here, I've graduated from the U of O, I've built a couple successful businesses, and I started a family. All of these things were possible because of the kindness and generosity shown to me by the people here in Eugene and in Springfield. This community is very passionate. There are many here who work to make our world a better place. It's inspiring, and I'm proud to be part of that. What we struggle with is how to focus our passion into progress. It's much easier in today's world of mass communications, 24-hour news and opinion blog media, and to fall into this pundit mode. The news encourages us to turn every tragedy and community challenge into a political debate, which can promote a mindset that our opinions matter more than the problems we're trying to solve. When discussion around community development, housing, racial and social justice, veterans affairs, education, and many other national and local issues happen, we need to take a deep breath and try to see the issues from other perspectives. We must not rely on our personal fear and anger to determine our agenda and approach. So with that said, my gift to the city is to plant an idea in our minds that I hope will grow. And this idea I will present in the form of an old Cherokee legend. A grandfather was approached by his grandson. The grandson said he was full of anger at a friend who had done him an injustice. The grandfather said, "Let me tell you a story. Many times in my life I've felt great hate for those who have taken so much from us and with no sorrow in their hearts for what they do. Hate and fear wears us down. It does not hurt the enemy to hate and fear them. It's like taking poison and wishing your enemy will die. I have struggled with these feelings many times," he said. "It is as if there are two wolves inside of me fighting. One wolf is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, greed, arrogance, guilt, resentment, lies, false pride, superiority, and fear. Even the littlest thing will send him into a terrible rage. He fights everyone all the time for no reason. He cannot think because his anger, hate, and fear are so great. He is helpless because his anger will change nothing. The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. This wolf does no harm. He lives in harmony with all around him and does not take offense when no offense is intended. These two wolves fight for dominance and exist inside of us all, inside of you and inside of me," said the grandfather to his grandson. The grandson looked at his grandfather's eyes and asked, "Well, which one of these wolves wins, grandfather?" The grandfather smiled and quietly said, "The one we feed." So with that story, I hope it inspires us to consider feeding peace, love, and hope rather than fear, anger, and hatred as we proceed forward tackling the issues that we face as a community in the year ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam, for feeding us today. Second, also with three syllables but 10 letters, is Don Tykeson. Don grew up on a farm, 80 acres on the Chilean Mountain in western Oregon. He went to a one-room rural grade school with 19 students. He made his mark in TV in the early days, and then over the next 20 years built a company from a single TV station in Eugene to a nationwide cable TV complex with operations in 9 states. A 1950 graduate of the University of Oregon, though I found out true to his form, he was 1 hour short, but he stayed diligent and finished that at Portland State and got his degree officially the following year from the University of Oregon. And he was awarded by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters in 2009 with the Tom McCall Award. He is a much-loved philanthropist here in our community and has already given us much. And so now we look forward to one more gift from Don. And he'll speak right there from the table. Go ahead, Don.
Turn it on? Okay, how about that? I'll do it. Well, you know, we're light years ahead of where we were when I went to work for the first commercial TV station in the world, the first TV station in Oregon, experimental transmitter, experimental antenna. Actually, it had the distinction of being the first UHF station in the world and went on the air with an experimental antenna, transmitter. And when Meyer and Frank, which is a major department store in Oregon, they placed a TV set in their window when television first came to Oregon. Oregon is one of the later markets to get television. All of the channel applicants were vying for Oregon, or for Portland, and they were having, and so was a comparative hearing. And Portland was one of the last places in the country to get television. It didn't come until 1952-53. Today, light years, we're able to live stream programs on our TV, computers, symphonies, basically anything that can receive a transmitter signal. In this day and age of instant access, my gift to you today is to remind you to appreciate how far we've really come in technology. I leave you with my mantra, which is, when you're on the cutting edge of new technologies, just make sure you're not too close the blade. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. And last in our three-syllable category is Mark Roberts, with 11 letters to his credit, or at least to his name. Mark Roberts, though, is also known as Markalo Parkalo, who dedicates his time in the slime light to raise awareness and cash for the Lane Independent Living Alliance, a nonprofit agency that links disabled folks in Eugene and Salem with the services they need to lead independent lives. Parkalo, also known as Mark Roberts, is president of the Lila's Board of Directors. He says his work at Lila connects him to his late brother, Ed Roberts, who is widely considered the father of the independent living movement. So thank you, Mark, for connecting us with your gift to the city, and I present to you the reigning slug queen of Eugene, Markalo Parkalo.
Thank you, Dan. And thank you for inviting me here today. It's a real honor to be here and have some of your precious time and the folks who will get to hear this afterwards that the wisdom of our table and our room to be passed on. When I was a boy, as Dan mentioned, my brother got polio very severely, and I think I think I changed the name of my talk to Wolf Food now after hearing Adam talk, because my talk today will be about empathy and love and how you can practice it and how we can all practice it and the hope that it holds for our world. When my brother got polio, as a 3-year-old boy, I was able to take care of this 14-year-old brother, feeding him, helping bathe him. It really instilled the power of empathy in me. It was a real gift to me to have somebody to look after. And he was so wise, and he gave me so many good stories in his education as a young man and from then on. About 13 years ago, I ran into Marshall Rosenberg in nonviolent communication, and that was a real gift to me. And the work that I've done since then in mediation and empathy work in our community has really sprung from that, a way to actually apply empathy in our community. So it's a real gift to me to be able to resolve disputes with people in small claims court every Monday morning, real good practice to see if keep people out of the court, save money, and also help reestablish relationships that doesn't happen, and a judge can't do that. So it's been a real gift to me to have that. And I won Slug Queen, besides my beauty and good looks and costume and talent. Other than that, it was the platform that I stood for independent living, being board president at LILA, continuing the work of my brother and my mother and lots of other folks who have fought for independence and advocacy for people with disabilities, the most severe disabilities. Well, I'd like to describe empathy for you now by a poem from the best part of Islam, I think, the Sufi tradition. Out beyond ideas of right doing and wrongdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. And that's from the poet Rumi. That field of beyond, out beyond any ideas of right doing and wrongdoing, there's a field where we can be together, and I call that the empathic field, where we put aside our judgment and our evaluation, tools that we're very well steeped in through our education and that are very valuable when we need them. Unfortunately, when we could leave them aside and use our empathic connection, just understanding another person without necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with them, put that off to the side for a moment. So my gift to the city of Eugene is not only the work that we're doing, but my empathy tent. That was another one of the platforms besides Healthcare for All Oregon, which was another very popular. You can almost hear the applause just wanting to break out, that it's a very popular idea when we see the effect of not having it on our culture. I get to see it every Monday with bankruptcy cases from people who have taken an unwanted ambulance ride. The empathy tent is another thing that I vowed to do as your queen and mine. I sent up a canopy with a sign on it asking people to, if they would like to be heard, to come in. I have another person with me, or I have teams of two people who are trained listeners. And you can come in if you have something that's distressing you. Like, we'll see homeless people will often come in. Somebody who hasn't had a chance to be heard and would like to be heard, they'll come in and have 15 or 20 minutes with us where we can just listen, not offer suggestions pretty much any of the time, but just listening. And the power of that, the gift that it is to people who come in. So 3 out of 4 people, I'd say, who come into our empathy tent are in trouble, or they're very sad. And some people come in to celebrate where they're in with their life. So empathy works when you're giving empathy to somebody. Listen without judgment. Put your judgment aside for a moment. Just listen and understand first. And then if somebody came to me and said, I'm really thirsty, you know, I'm just dying of thirst, the first thing I might do in that case is not be necessarily empathic, but offer them a drink of water. But if somebody comes in pain because they're lonely or they're new in town, get quite a few people at the Saturday market at the empathy tent who are new in town and don't know anybody, and they see everybody having such a good time. And just to make that connection with them, the first thing I offer them is not, well, did you think about joining the city club or getting involved in this or that? It's not helpful at first. Just to get to the depths of where somebody is, that loneliness, and just to be with them and have that be all right, not try to fix it right away. There might be something at the end I might say, hey, have you thought about doing this or that, if it's invited. So I'll always ask people, would you like a strategy for meeting that need? And if they say no, then I know not to give it. Unwanted advice is not very valuable. So my invitation to you is, if you see the empathy tent at Saturday Market, at our holiday market, at the country fair, at the Free Speech Plaza, wherever we decide to set up, you'll be assured that it won't cost you anything. It'll be very valuable to you. You can come in and be heard. And you can start practicing empathy on your own if you get the book Nonviolent Communication, The Language of Life by Marshall Rosenberg, or any of his videotapes. They're free at the library. I highly recommend it. I think the man is a genius. He just died this year, but the gift that he gave to me has been invaluable. And also, if you'd like to be a listener in our empathy tent, you can contact me through the Saturday Market. They will pass on the message of how to contact me. And we have trainings for how to be a listener. And you could come and join a team. At first, you might just be very quiet while one of our more trained listeners is showing you how we do it. And then you can start to be a leader in the empathy movement and practice it. One of the gifts I have is I didn't bring my saxophone. I just started practicing in March, and at first I sounded like a train, and then a steam whistle, and squeaky birds and things, but I practice every day for about half an hour. I'm a lot better now, but it's a hard instrument to get really good at, so my gift to you is not bringing my saxophone in today, but what I'm leading to is that to practice empathy is something that we don't learn in schools, for the most part, and it's something that you have to practice, and I recommend practicing it every day. You can also give it to yourself. Just listen what's going on with you, with your body, with your emotions. What are your needs underneath what's going on for you at any moment? So that's my invitation, my gift for you, and thank you again so much for having me up here.
Thank you, Mark. And how is it that someone who looks so silly can give us something so deep and profound? So in the spirit of that, I'll put on my reindeer antlers that you might take me more seriously. Moving on, and they won't stay on my head. Moving on to the four-syllable category, now we at last get to the women. Now, this is a very peculiar thing. I did not intend this division, but you notice we had three men, now we're going to have four women. I got thinking about this. My name's Dan. I have a brother named Steve, right? My sisters are Catherine, Teresa, and Sherry. They got to the fifth of the kids. My parents ran out of syllables. But I don't know what that says about our race, but for some reason, our women are more blessed with syllabic names. So first we have Kenya Luvert. Kenya loves to encourage others to become the best we can be and to utilize our unique gifts and talents to benefit the surrounding community. She is doing just that in this community as the Special Events Program Coordinator for the City of Eugene. She has also been an active leader in the NAACP, working especially in our local high schools, mentoring youth to develop their gifts and talents. A colleague calls Kenya a great connector with people and a great communicator. She is a great encourager of others and helps them achieving something different with their life. So, Kenya, we hope that you'll encourage us today with something different with your gift.
Well, thank you for inviting me to share share my gift with you, as well as the community. And I was really thinking about this, about what I would give to this community, and it would be to my daughter and all of the daughters and the kids that I interact with, as well as all of the big kids in this room and on the radio and all of that. But I just want you to really kind of stop for a moment and think about what would make Eugene a wonderful place to live for every single person. Everyone who's different than you, just what would that take? Just think for it. So I'm going to just give just a couple seconds just to think about what that looks like. Well, I grew up here in Eugene. My family came when I was 2 years old. And I remember, it's interesting, as I reflect now about my experience in Eugene, it's great that they came from the Midwest to Eugene. So my experience was a little bit different than Adam's in terms of, oh, it was so welcoming and it's so wonderful and all of that. So I remember, I look back now and I think to myself, what was the changing factor for me? What age was that? And it was at 4 years old. That's when I realized that things were different, that I was not the same. And so I can think back, it was four. Why four? Because that's when I went to school. Four was when I was in kindergarten. And so when I think back to kindergarten, that's when I realized that I was different. I wasn't the same. I was one of the onlys. And no, I wasn't an only child. But in the classroom, I was one of the onlys. So just think about what that means, one of the onlys. And so that's my experience in Eugene. And then I moved away, and then I came back maybe 12 years later after college. So we'll say that I'm now 20 plus, you know, right? I look that young, right? Or sound that young if you're listening on the radio. So it's interesting because I come back and things have not changed for people, for kids who look like me. And so it's really kind of disheartening when I hear young people who say, oh my, this is my experience. And I can say, wow, 20 years ago, that was my experience as well. So that's my experience. And I want to kind of bring in Walida and Imarcia. I might be pronouncing that right. But she actually did a book, and it's Why Aren't There More Black People in Oregon? And so when I look at our environment, our communities, here in Eugene, as well as even Portland, you go to any city in Oregon, and it's probably about the same. Why aren't there more black people in that place? And when I say black, I'm going to just say black, but it actually transposes beyond black. So I'm going to represent, even though I may not look like it, but I'm going to represent others, because why aren't there more people that are different than you in this room, in this community? So, you know, there's probably a multiple of reasons which I will not get into in this short talk that I will give, or this short gift, because this my gift then with this in mind really would encompass, it would be holistic in nature. And so I can't give just one, I'll have to give them all. You know, because it's not just for me, it's for you, but even my daughter and the generations that will come behind me and lead. So it would be diversity that reflects all people of the world. It would be less judgment, more acceptance of difference, more compassion for others who are not like us, ourselves. It would be more justice and wealth equity, and finally, more love. You know, because love covers everything. So I challenge all of you to meet someone that doesn't look like you. When you leave and take all of these gifts with you, as you interact with that individual. Because as Gandhi says, be the change you want to see in the world. And so therefore, now let's rethink Eugene with all of these gifts. Let's leave and apply them. Thanks.
Thank you, Kenya, just for the gift of being you. I'm doing my best to try to look different. I don't know if it's working or not, but I have a different hat, radio audience, for every presentation. Next with the five syllables is the always dynamic Carmen Urbina, the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Manager at the Eugene School District 4J. Carmen is a bilingual and bicultural professional with 25 years experience performing asset-based complex and targeted outreach in communities of color to implement effective parent involvement and recruitment strategies in district schools and community-based organizations. Her equity-based professional development work with teachers and leaders is designed to enlighten and empower without guilt, shame, blame, or judgment of self or others. She has a master's in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica, and more impressively, a turtle in sticking your neck out in Eugene-ology from the City Club of Eugene. So here's another opportunity for you to stick it to us. I mean, give it to us, Carmen, please.
And I just want to appreciate you, Dan, because I actually only sent like two lines around the things that matter. And so you Googled. You Googled me. Buenas tardes. Good afternoon. First, I would like to say thank you. And I need to put these on. How humbled I am to be speaking today and giving a gift to Eugene. I have lived in Eugene for 28 years and raised two amazing and loving human beings. And I have friends that have become my family and are in my heart. And I do have to say that I love my community and I love Eugene. I always say if there's something, if magic can happen, Eugenians can make it so. So I will start by stating that we are currently living in a highly racialized environment, and I'm going to name it. We're dealing with racism, bigotry, homophobia, sexism, classism, anti-Semitism, transgender oppression, religious oppression, anti-immigrant sentiments, and you name it, because it seems that it has become a way of life in our communities. And I know and truly believe that these things can change. The first thing we as human beings must do is to accept the fact that racism exists. And because some people have been blinded to the reality for so long, they simply can't seem to recognize it unless it's wearing a hooded robe or torching a cross on a person of color's lawn. Racism comes in many forms. For example, systemic racial injustices in Oregon, as we see a pipeline from school to prisons that are filled with black and brown boys, or the propaganda that the media perpetuates of Muslims by forcing Americans to believe that they are more of a threat than the KKK, which still hasn't been identified as a terrorist group despite all of the crimes that have been recorded. Nevertheless, we must acknowledge it and then have a candid discussion that leads to real solutions. Turning a blind eye or falsely believing that it doesn't exist will only reinforce the existing racial disparities. The more cognizant that people are about racism, both subtle and deliberate, this allows us to identify our roles in the problem and make effective changes within ourselves and our communities. How do we identify it to transform this reality to the reality that we want to live in, to the reality of the four-year-olds that are in our school system in the now? As an immigrant, woman of color, and living in a dominantly white community, I have engaged in the last 2 weeks in countless conversations about race. And I would like to briefly share with you what they sound like, what they look like, and what they feel like. I'm only going to mention five, and I do have to highlight that these are well-intended folks, good hearts, and are part of our community. Number one, I had this conversation. I don't know why you people keep bringing up these Black Lives Matter, because all lives matter. ... Two, what is the big deal? Redskins is a team. I don't understand why they, meaning Native American communities, have issues. What is the big deal? Three, really, why are you coming to this country? Why are they coming to this country? They don't even know how to speak English. Four, it's not about hate. I'm not talking about extermination. The extremists must made their intentions 100% clear. We need to protect our American way when talking about our Muslim community. 5, I have turned off the TV and I don't read the newspapers anymore. I just can't handle it. You know, all these things that are happening out there, they're just too much for me. The last conversation, actually all of these conversations were with white folks. The last conversation was with a very good friend of mine, female, white, middle-aged, highly educated, overall a beautiful person. And I told her, it must be nice to be able to turn off your TV and not read the newspaper. I can't. Because in the skin that I'm in, I don't only read it, I watch it on TV, and I live it every day in our community. I have seen more Confederate flags in the last year than I have ever seen in the last 30 years. Recently, just 2 weeks ago, coming out of Costco with my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter. My friend's daughters, while waiting for the bus, has been called the N-word 5 times in the last 6 weeks. She's 16. A middle school kid almost got in trouble because he could not have his cell phone in the classroom as he kept checking his cell phone. When the teacher, bless her heart, asked him, what's going on? And he then said, you know, my dad is undocumented and I'm afraid that he's going to be deported. And I can go on and on with examples. So many in Eugene. So the following gift that I would like to give our community, it's an imaginary reflection box that you can use every time, every day, to find ways to see, recognize, reflect, and interrupt what is happening in our community. In this reflection box, I have 4 ingredients that are necessary to be able to engage authentically in our cross-race, across different conversations with love, compassion, and empathy. 1, a poem that represents your heart. 2, an essential question for you that represents your will. 3, will you stay silent that represents your courage. And 4, a call to action that represents your love for this community. 1, a poem that represents your heart to recognize that we are one and to recognize our own humanity. In Lakesh, the meaning of the phrase is affiliated with the Mayan definition of the human being, which they called Hunikilil, a human vibrant being. In this regard, we are all part of the same universal vibration. The poem reads like this, in Lakesh, tú eres mi otro yo. You are my other me. Si te hago daño a ti, if I do harm to you, me hago daño a mí mismo. I do harm to myself. Si te amo y respeto, if I love you and respect you, me amo y respeto yo. I love and respect myself. 2, an essential question for you and for us that represents our will. Can we ask ourselves, because I am asking myself, who am I in relationship to the community that I live in? Who am I in relationship to the neighbors that I love? Who am I in relationship to my stance? In the skin that I'm in, the role that I play, the experiences that I have, the fears of what I don't know, the vulnerability that I'm able to exhibit to all of you, and the responsibility that I have. And responsibility is defined as the ability for me to respond to things. I have a choice. I have a choice to turn off the TV, or I have a choice to authentically engage in a courageous conversation about transforming our community. 3, will you stay silent that represents your courage? President Obama, in the 50th anniversary of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, said, we know we cannot be complacent, for history travels not only forward. History can travel backward. History can travel sideways. And securing the gain this country has made requires the vigilance of its citizens. Our rights, our freedoms, they are not given. Still, the story of America is a story of progress. However slow, however incomplete, however harshly challenged at each point of our journey. And Marian Anderson in 1956 says, there are many persons ready to do what is right because in their hearts they know it is right. But they hesitate, waiting for the other to make the first move. And the other in turn waits for you. Therefore, what is it and what steps are we going to be taking forward, not waiting for another person to stand up and to say enough? 4, a call to action that represents your love for this community. So City Club members, what are we doing to build our will, our skill, our knowledge to interrupt inequities based on race, class, gender, and other forms of biases that are here in the now affecting our communities. Martin Luther King said, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And in the spirit, once again, of In Lakesh, I will read this poem one more time. Tú eres mi otro yo. You are my other me. Si te hago daño a ti, if I do harm to you, me hago daño a mí mismo. I do harm to myself. Si te amo y respeto, if I love and respect you, me amo y respeto yo. I surrender to all of you my love. Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen. So you remember what I said at the beginning about provocative gifts? There's always at least one, and thank you for making us stop and think of what the season is really about. Without a doubt, the youngest in our group today, and wise beyond her six syllables, is Kelsey Juliana. Born here in Eugene just 19 years ago, Juliana has worked on climate issues since the age of 11. At 15, she co-filed a lawsuit urging the state of Oregon to implement a climate carbon reduction plan, which we heard about here at the City Club of Eugene, and which currently sits in the Court of Appeals. Kelsey and 20 other youth recently filed a constitutional rights lawsuit against the federal government demanding an immediate reduction of fossil fuels. She has spoken to hundreds of youth and walked across the country to urge climate action. Her background includes work with our Children's Trust, iMatter, Sierra Student Coalition, 350.org, and Earth Guardians. She's currently studying environmental education and policy at Warren Wilson College in North Carolina, and unfortunately could not be with us in person, though her presentation is available on YouTube, and we'll make it a part of our site as well. But her mother is here, and so her mother is going to bring us her gift. So, Kecha Juliana, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's quite an honor to be here. It's incredible to be seated with this group of wisdom makers in our community, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak on behalf of my daughter. She's an incredible extemporaneous speaker, and of course, because she couldn't be here in person, we had to get her to write her thoughts down, so I'll do my best to present it in the manner in which she would present it. She would clearly not be needing notes to do so, but I'm going to read her words as she wrote them, and I hope you enjoy it. In the face of climate crisis, the world stands at a pivotal moment of urgency. Climate change threatens the survivability and thrivability of future generations. Naomi Klein reminds us that crisis means great peril and great opportunity. This crisis brings increasing threats to frontline populations, including younger generations, but also brings motivation to change the social, political, and economic structures that cause injustice and division. We are teetering on an edge of apathy or responsiveness, and I'm excited. In a time of demanding solutions and a shift away from practice as usual, hopelessness can creep in and become a welcome friend to apathy. But moments of hopelessness are only fleeting, for how can they linger over the empowered chanting, demanding, cries, and singing from our youth all around us? I am energized by the youth movement, and I am grateful of the support that Eugene gives to our youth empowerment around the issues of climate. My gift to the city is ongoing commitment to strong and bold leadership to meet the needs of present and future generations in the face of climate crisis. We have the knowledge, the power, and the passion to create a sustainable city. We have a people's movement led by driven and visionary youth. In envisioning a city committed to addressing the needs of present and future generations, I want to see Eugene addressing climate recovery ordinance as an agenda priority, a commitment to recognizing injustice in our community and to be an agent of environmental justice and respect. City leaders taking bold positions against unsustainable and harmful fossil fuel projects like LNG. citywide divestment from fossil fuels and investment in renewable energy, a strong commitment to sustainability, including carbon neutral planning, green building and open spaces, incentives for energy conservation, and carbon offsets required by businesses. And finally, I want to see Eugene considering effects on future generations before making policy and political decisions. How do we dream and become this sustainable city? Active hope. Active hope will drive change, not idle hope that sits potted and waits for someone to water it for it to grow, but active hope that uproots itself and grows through concrete cracks and breaks down cement structures. I am named after this Cascadian bioregion, and my identity and heart belong to it. I know the power of locality in creating intentional, resilient, and solution-based communities. As Pope Francis says, local individuals and groups are able to instill a greater sense of responsibility, a strong sense of community, a readiness to protect others, a spirit of creativity, and a deep love for the land. Eugene has long been recognized for its environmental leadership and outstanding sense of community. I urge, I challenge, and I give the gift of committing ourselves to be solutionary in the face of climate crisis, starting from the youth up. Thank you.
Katja, thank you for giving us your daughter, and no doubt she takes after you in some way. Finally, also with six syllables contained in three names, Brittany Quick Warner is the Director of Business Advocacy for the Eugene Chamber of Commerce, in which she leads the Chamber's government affairs, leadership, and community development efforts. In her 2 years at the Chamber, Brittany has advocated for businesses and a prosperous economy on mandatory sick leave, additional industrial lands, economic development incentives like MUPTI, and the urban renewal transportation initiatives, and eWeb redevelopment. She also helps facilitate the Leadership Eugene Springfield program and is actively working on a candidate development strategy. Brittany owns a small business with her husband and is passionate about community involvement and volunteering. Currently, she serves as an executive board member for Bring Recycling, Better Eugene Springfield Transit, and the Junior League. No surprise that she was named just last week by the Register Guard as a rising star in the local business community for their 20 Under 40 Award. And speaking of VW vans, you will want to get your picture taken in Brittany's. Brittany.
Thank you, Dan. You know, I thought about my gift being one of those life-size piano keyboards that you can dance on, all the sidewalks in downtown Eugene being made of those, because I thought that would just be fun, but everyone else's gifts were so great, so I think I'll stick with my original. thank you so much for the introduction. Hi, everyone. I'm happy to be here. Like Dan mentioned, in my role at the Eugene Chamber of Commerce, I get the opportunity to work with some pretty impressive people on a regular basis. Business owners and leaders in Eugene are a resilient bunch, and I have learned a lot from them every day. But there is no better way to learn about business than running one yourself. So 3 years ago, in what some might consider a lapse in judgment, my husband and I decided to start our own business. We are a multimedia production company called Blue Bus Creatives. Our name was lovingly named after our blue Volkswagen bus that we do, in fact, take photos in. again, and our name is Blue Bus Creatives. We design, take photos, and make beautiful videos. There have been plenty of highs and lows, too many sleepless nights to count, and moments our friends thought we had flat lost our minds. But there is nothing more challenging and rewarding, terrifying and fulfilling than embracing an entrepreneurial attitude and just jumping in. So this year, I would like to gift to the city of Eugene an entrepreneurial spirit. You all probably know someone with a contagious entrepreneurial spirit. Steve Jobs calls them the misfits, the crazy ones, the ones who see things differently. I have learned a few traits by observation and some by experience that I would like to gift to the city this year and to share with you today. Number one, entrepreneurs are stubbornly optimistic. They are incapable of taking no for an answer, and they will keep working until they get to a yes. I give for the city of Eugene an open mind and always looking for solutions, not just dwelling on our problems. Number two, entrepreneurs are shameless self-promoters. This is a beautiful city we live in, and we are doing some really, really great work here. Despite the perception of trouble after trouble, let's tell those stories. We have so many good stories to tell. And perhaps a video produced by Blue Bus Creatives. How's that for shameless self-promotion? Entrepreneurs, number three, entrepreneurs embrace a responsible sense of urgency. As a chronic perfectionist myself, my mantra for 2015 has been, done is better than perfect. In a community of analysis paralysis, it is my gift to the city that a responsible sense of urgency is felt, and some might just call that a swift kick in the tail. Number four, entrepreneurs make data-driven decisions, and they know their market. My hope for the city is to embrace the majority. Take data and make data-driven decisions. It might be easy to listen to who is in front of us and who is loudest, but I would like us to take after some entrepreneurs and make to dig deeper and to really get to know who our community is made of and what they think. Number five, entrepreneurs function flawlessly on less than 2 hours of sleep. They have razor-sharp focus, and they are the life of the party, regardless of their foggy delusion. I hope that for the city of Eugene. Entrepreneurs, lastly, are willing to take risks, and they aren't afraid to fail. I don't know anyone else who fails time after time, lives to tell about it, and then gets famous doing so. Have you ever met an entrepreneur that didn't tell you about all of the mistakes that they made before they succeeded? Oh, Eugene, how I wish for you that stubborn optimism, relentless creativity, and a sense of urgency, and a contagious entrepreneurial spirit. Thanks.
So unlike the ducks, I've run out of outfits to change into, but radio audience, you can hear this one at least. We have just about 9 minutes left, so we haven't run out of time. So what I'd like to do is just take 2 or 3 minutes at your table, come up with your best gift. We have a wireless mic with us today. I'm going to come around with that mic to your table so you don't even have to get up. So let's spend some time. What is the gift that your table would give to our community?
You're listening to KLCC, NPR for Oregonians. In Eugene, 89.7 FM, KLCC. KLCO Newport, 90.5. KLFR Reedsport, 89.1. And at 88.1, KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend. On the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet.
Ready? Okay, so let's hear from our tables your gifts. Very brief. We've only got a few minutes left.
A shelter for the homeless, and more civic engagement by young people.
Wonderful. Thank you. Jerry, over here.
This table is quite anxious to give Kesey Square to the community, and we're in agreement that a building on Kesey Square would be just fine if it were off to the side and open to the square.
Or just put it up on stilts or something, you know. Whatever. Okay, who's got it over here? Antonia.
Yeah. Our table would like to give the gift of gratitude not only to the city of Eugene, especially to the city club for organizing this and all the other many wonderful events and having the courage to bring people together in the community. And it's also a gift to us, because gratitude is a gift that goes around and comes around. So thank you from us to all of you and to us.
Thank you. Thank you, Antonio. This table? Bob, did you have a gift? Okay. I'm persuaded.
I would like to reconstitute the Eugene Celebration Parade, only do it differently. Run by volunteers, for volunteers, and a celebration of all the volunteer nature we have in this city.
Nice. Thank you.
gift here, Jerry?
Yes, we need to give it the community covered shelters for homeless people, and we need to, as has been mentioned, allow more of the young people like Kelsey Juliana to contribute to our culture.
Amen. Good. All right. Right up here. Kevin?
We'd like to give everybody in Eugene a sense of humor, a little bit of levity for the year, and not taking ourselves too seriously all the time, but opening ourselves to the spirit of empathy.
I'm so glad you said that. Right, another one right here. Monica.
Well, thank you. So as we were listening to the speakers and talking about empathy and universality and equality, we also discussed how nice it would be to have two additional library branches because all those things exist at the library.
Wonderful. One more. Okay, Ruth.
Another Christmas wish is that every homeless child at First Place gets a gift. And you can just bring it by 19th and Amazon and drop off a children's gift, and I hope they all have them this year on Christmas morning.
Thank you, Ruth. This truly has been a gift, and I want to thank you for the gift that you give in being an active participant in this club that offers so many things to our community. Last word, Joel.
Thank you, Dan, and our guests for bringing clarity and vision to the City Club program annual gift to the city. We'd also like to thank again our sponsors, Pacific University, Sanipac, and Dot Dotson. We meet again next week, December 18th, Friday, for our last program of 2015 here at the Downtown Athletic Club. Landscape architect David Dougherty and Brittany Quick Warner, who you just heard from, the Director of Business Advocacy for the Eugene Chamber of Commerce, will describe the rationales for preserving and improving Kesey Square as an open space on one hand or erecting a mixed-use building there on the other hand. Next week's program was originally scheduled for a presentation by University of Oregon President Michael Schill, but he had to cancel unexpectedly. He will appear at City Club on February 5th instead. Lunches for next week's program can be ordered on the City Club website or by contacting the office. Thank you, folks. Have a good weekend.